a morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin Nun Gimel. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf is only Zechin Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We have one more story to finish up yesterday's sugya. We're on Nun Beis Amud Beis. And the brewer. Before we get to the brewer. So the Gemara yesterday dealt with a number of halachas that we learned from our Mishnah. The Mishnah takes us back to Nun Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us that you can't be Mekadesh a woman and her daughter, a woman and her sister. And the reason being, so there are a couple reasons that we offered over the last couple of days of the daf. Back on Nun Aleph, we talked about that if you cannot do something in succession, you cannot do it simultaneously. This is the rule of Rava, and as a result of that, you have a very simple pshat in the Mishnah. Since I cannot do it zech or zeh, so I cannot do it at the same time as well. But then the Gemara went on to discuss at length the topic of Kedushin Shem Yisroel Nabiya, where the Kedushin, as a result of the Kedushin, so it doesn't result in a Biya, and whether or not that's a Kedushin. It's not a Kedushin, that's the machlokas between Rav and Abaye. One of the few times in Shas we pass like Abaye, this represents one of the Yalkagam. Then the Gemara went on to discuss the last case of the Mishnah, where there were five women. One woman accepted the Kedusha on behalf of all five. One of the five accepted Kedusha on behalf of all five. Of those five, two of them were sisters. So the two of them are not included in the Kedushin. Rav says that there are four halachas to be learned from that case. Of those four halachas, three of them he feels is halacha psuka, halacha gemura, and the fourth one is debatable because that was a machlok between Abaye and Rava. And Rav Yochanan concurs with Rav. Rav Yochanan says on one of the halachas, which is that if you're mekadesh with stolen goods, so the kedushin is not going to be a valid kedushin. Rav Yochanan said in the context of kachim that if you steal something from somebody, you want to be mekadesh it. You can't. The original owner also can't be mekadesh it because lefishen shalav lefishen berushuso. In order to be mekadesh something, and understand we're talking about kedusha isha and kedusha beis hamikdash, but still the basic idea is if you want to be mekadesh something, it has to be A, yours, and B, in your possession. And if it's not both, so then you cannot be mekadesh. This is what we learned from Rav Yochanan. This is what we learned from Rav. This was the Gemara that we saw yesterday. To that, the Gemara then concluded with a couple of stories where somebody took something that was not his, even partially his, but not fully his, and still the halach is that you cannot be mekadesh. So yesterday we dealt with the case of the sharecropper, where the sharecropper took some of the yield of the field, which he has a portion in, he has a partnership in, but it wasn't yet divided, and so because it wasn't yet divided, he did not take an absolute share in the field, he just took a handful, so the Gemara yesterday said the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin because it's not yet his. With all that stated, we have one more story that we need to go through. Hahu Arisa. No, we did that. So the Hahu Sarisa. There we go. So we're now up to the brewer. So we're now discussing a brewer, de Kaddish be Pruma de Shechra. So what does he give a woman as Kedushin? He gives her Pruma de Shechra. Rashi has a slightly different girsa than what we have in the Gemara. He calls it Prusma de Shechra. Anyway, the way you make beer, not like I know. My last trip to St. Louis, I visited the brewery over there, the Budweiser Brewery. We went through we had a tour, and then, I know I'm on tape right now, but then there was the tasting afterwards. Okay, anyway, it's a great trip to St. Louis. I highly recommend it. Yeah, correct. So anyway, the basic idea, and back in the good old days, beer was made with dates. Unlike nowadays where, you know, we do it with barley, but back in the good old days it was made with dates. Either way, basically what you do is you ran water over the dregs, and the water picks up the dregs, and the water then is going to be fermented with those dregs. So what this man did is he was a brewer. Now, as Rashi points out over here, take a look at the Rashi Haus Arisa. Osa Shecha Mitamarim Shel Balabayas. So here, again, it was a business venture. And the way the business venture worked is that he didn't own the dregs. They belonged to the investment capital. And what he did is he just simply did the work. He put together the beer. And Rashi goes on to describe. Osa Shecha Mitamarim Shel Balabayas. La Machatzis Schar. And what they're going to do is they're going to divide profit. Here, Rashi describes it as half and half. And Rashi says, you want to see something similar to this, you can look in Bamitzia for a similar type of business venture. Anyway, so now we're talking not about the owner, but we're talking about the brewer. The one who is the one responsible making the beer. And he's going to get profit. There is going to be profit sharing. However, what he did is he took the dregs, and they ran water over it once, maybe even twice, and he took these dregs and he gave it to the woman. He says, I want to mimikashi with these dregs. Okay, this is not the first unusual item that was given to a woman as the Kesef Kedushin. We've already, yesterday alone, we discussed a handful of onions. So yesterday we saw a handful of onions. Today we see the dregs of the brewery. Anyway, but that's what he gives to her. But the problem, of course, is that right now they're not his. Meaning, yes, there's going to be profit sharing, but he took the dregs, which don't belong to him, and he used them as the Kesef Kedushim. Asamari deshichra ashkechei. So the owner comes and he finds Amalei Amailo Tesef Mehai Harifa. Now, what the owner says is, well, now, before we actually quote the owner's reaction, let's just assume. The owner's not happy with what happened, meaning, I understand that I hired you to make the beer, and we're going to sell the beer, and there's going to be profit sharing. I get all that. But those are my dregs. So, without yet quoting the Gemara, just the owner's reaction would be, what are you doing with my dregs, being Mekadosh a woman with my dregs? That would be basically the response of the owner. However, now we're going to read the Gemara, and now we're going to see what the owner actually says. He says, Amalei Amailo Tesef Mehai Harifa. Why don't you take from these dregs, meaning the dregs that you used were already recycled a number of times. They were cycled through a number of different brews. Why don't you take fresher dregs and use fresher dregs? Now, question. When he said that, was he being sincere or was he being sarcastic? Simple. It's a simple question. Now, I understand when you say something, when you read something in the Gemara, it's very hard to tell tone, right? Think about all the emails and texts that you and I receive, and tone is very hard to tell. And over here in the Gemara, tone is very hard to tell. But basically, from the owner's standpoint, again, they don't belong to the brewer, they belong to the owner. So the owner is basically saying to the brewer, like, what are you doing? But here, by him saying, why don't you take the better dregs, it could be that he meant it as just a sarcastic, I cannot believe you did that, or maybe he was being sincere. And so the question now becomes, how to interpret the statement of the owner. Also, they go to Rav Amrlo, Amru, Klachit, Yafos, Elalein, and Truma. You know when someone's sincere? One limited scenario, and that is when it comes to Truma Bilvad. And the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Did Tanya Kate said, Amru Torim Shalom Midas, Truma Sir Truma. Now, generally speaking, and we just did this a couple days ago in the Daf, I can't take off Truma off of somebody else's field unless I was authorized to do so. As a Shliach, I can do so, but if I was not authorized to do so, I cannot do so. Now, let's say I did it. Let's say I won't go over to somebody's field and I took off Truma. Now, remember, by Truma, it's a variable. You take off 2%, but plus or minus. It could be above 2%, it could be below 2%, depends on whether the person is generous or miserly. However, in this scenario, we're talking about a guy who took off Truma without permission. And now he goes to the owner and he's looking for post-validation from the owner. So the Brisa goes on to relate, where somebody goes on to somebody else's field, and he takes off Truma and he does so without permission. So, if this is just outright theft, meaning he was totally unauthorized to do so, the truma is nothing. If he was authorized to do so, even if it was post-separation, so then the truma would be a good truma. And now, aside from reading minds, how are we supposed to know whether or not the owner was happy with what was done? If the balabais comes and says, you know, you could have taken even off better truma. So there, that and in that scenario, we assume that to mean a sincere gesture of, I like what you did, and you could have done even a better job. But of course, the sincerity in the statement is only going to be true if there were actually better truma to take off. So then we understand the statement was a sincere statement. Otherwise, if there really was nothing better to take off, so then you understand that his statement was an extraordinarily sarcastic statement of, really, I can't believe what you did. Why don't you take off better for the truma? So there, hayu abalim malaktim amosifim menkach truma. Avahacha, but over here in the case of the owner and the brewer, mishum kisufa hu David ve'ena mekudeshes. But over here, kisufa, he's embarrassed, meaning I cannot believe what you did. You just took the dregs from my vat and you use them to be a Mekadosh woman. And even though the owner of the dregs said, maybe you should have taken other ones, but there, it was just a passive aggressive confrontation. That was just simply a, I cannot believe you did that. I don't want to just challenge you straight out because people generally don't like confrontation. So what he said was something extraordinarily sarcastic, like, "Hey, you could have done a better job." But there, it's dripping sarcasm. He didn't. He wasn't happy with what happened. Rav essentially said the brewer had no right to take the dregs. They didn't belong to him. They weren't owned by him. And even a validation that was said by the owner afterwards is not understood as a validation. It was sarcasm. It was passive aggressive, and the Gemara says the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's sugya. We start the Mishnah. I call today's daf, even though it's not really, but beginning of today's daf, we start the next Mishnah and our next sugya. And this sugya will take us now for the next number of days. And now we're going to be talking about being Mekadosh a woman using various forms of karbanos. Karbanos, Maaser Sheni, Hekdesh. So the question is really going to boil down to, although at the end of today's daf you'll see that there'll be other issues as well, but essentially the question is that when you have some form of karban, maaser sheni, or hekdesh, is it yours or is it just simply you have the right to eat it? Okay, now we know by some karbanos only kohanim can eat it, by maaser sheni the owner can eat it, but the question really comes down to, is it considered yours just with rules and restrictions and regulations in terms of how to eat it, or no, it's not yours. And all you have is just simply a right to eat it, and that's it. That's fundamentally the question that we're going to be addressing time and again throughout this discussion. Let us begin. Mishnah starts off with Mekash Bechelko, Bein Kashin, Kashin, Bein Kashin, Kolam. A person is Mekash Bechelko, meaning, let's talk about a kohen. A kohen who now received a portion of karban, whether it's kachet kachim or kachim kalim. The basic difference, as we've seen time and again, is that kachet kachim are referencing a chatas and an asham. Now, we really can't be talking about an ola because when it comes to an ola, the entire karban is burnt on the mizbeach. So, what part of kachet kachim is entitled to be eaten by the kohen? So, the chatas and the asham. Chatas and the asham can only be eaten by kohanim, specifically zichrei kohanim, only the male kohanim, and specifically only in the Azara, nowhere outside the Azara. If you were to take Kachet Kachim, Chatas and Ashim, and take them outside the Azara, they become disqualified. The Psul of Yotze. The Mishnah is telling us is that if the Kohen receives a portion of the Kachet Kachim, so he can't go over to a woman and says, "Hi, how are you? I want to be Mekadosh you using meat of the carbon Chatas." So the Mishnah says, cannot do that. Mishnah also says, you can't do it with Kachim Kalim as well. Kachim Kalim is Shlamim. Shlamim, which can be eaten. The portions of it go to the Kohen. The Chaz of Ishok, the chest and a leg of the Shlamim goes to the Kohen. The most of the remaining part of the edible part of the animal goes to the Balam, goes to the owner. Portions of it go on to the Mizbeach. But the point the Mishnah is making is, whatever Chalek you get, whatever portion you get, you cannot be Mekadosh a woman with that as well.
Even if you're not,
in other words,
Shlamim cannot do it.
That's correct. That seemingly is a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Whoever gets their portion cannot be Mekadosh using their portion. So the Mishnah starts off a Mekadosh Bechelko, Bein Kachin Kachin, Bein Kachin Kolam, Eina Mekadosh, the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin. Bim Maaser Sheni. Now, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, so again, let's review. In years 1, 2, 4, 5 of the Shemitah cycle, after your first 10% goes off to the Levim, that's called Maaser Rishon, the next 10% is what's called Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni has Kedusha, you take it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, if that is an inconvenience, which It is. So what you could do is you could be poed that you could redeem that onto money, bring the money to the base of Mikdash, and spend the money on food. On any food that you'd like to eat, exceptions, of course, being water and salt, right, your basic non-caloric foods. But you, that's Meister Sheni. So if you take Meister Sheni, Bein Shogig, Bein Meitzel, Lo Kiddush, Devar Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, you cannot take Meister Sheni and use it as Kesef Kedushin. Why not? So Rav Meir's of the opinion that that Meister Sheni is not your money. It's what's called Mamon Gavoa. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's. You have the right to eat it. You have a mitzvah to eat it, but it's not yours. So therefore, you cannot use it as Kesef Kedushin. Rav Yehuda Omer B'Shogeg Lo Kiddush B'Meitzel Kiddush. Now, Rav Yehuda says that if you are a Mekadosh, a woman B'Shogeg, meaning you hand her Meister Sheni, you forget momentarily that it's Meister Sheni. So it's B'Shogeg, so the Kedushin doesn't work. B'Meitzel. However, if you do so intentionally, you and this woman know that this is Meister Sheni, and you hand it to her as Meister Sheni, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Later this morning, we're going to ask the obvious question, according to Rav Yehuda, what's the difference between Shogeg and Meizid? Meaning, Rav Yehuda fundamentally is of the opinion that Meister Sheni belongs to you. Therefore, you can make Mekadosh a woman with it. So why is it that by Shogeg, if I were to hand the Meister Sheni over to a woman by Shogeg, and hand it to her as Ketzef Kedushin, it doesn't work? The Gemara later on is going to ask that question. We're going to address that at the end of today's daf. Uve Hektesh. Now, if I give woman Hektesh, meaning something that was consecrated as property now of the Beis HaMikdash. We're not talking about a carbon. We're just talking about any item, right? Let's keep it to movables. Any item that is now dedicated as property of the Beis HaMikdash, if I hand it to a woman as a Kedushin, so, B'mezit Kiddush V'shogeg Lo Kiddush Devar Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, if I do so intentionally, the Kedushin is a good Kedushin. If I do so B'shogeg, the Kedushin is not a good Kedushin. Rav Yehuda Omer, B'shogeg Kiddush V'mezit Lo Kiddush. And Rav Yehuda says just the opposite. If I do so B'shogeg, the Kedushin is valid. If I do so B'mezit, the Kedushin is not valid. The Gemara later on will explain these positions of Rameh and Rav Yehuda as it relates to being Mekadosh a woman with Hektesh. So stay tuned, we're going to be discussing that later as well in much greater detail. We start with the first part of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if I go over to a woman and attempt to make Kedushin with her using portions that were given to me of Kachi Kachim. Now, I'm not a Kohen, so for me, I would never receive that portion. But if a Kohen were to receive portions of Kachi Kachim, Chatas or Asham, he cannot be Mekadosh with it. If I were to receive portions of the Shlamim, I cannot be Mekadosh one with the Shlamim. That is the Psak of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara starts off, Neimar Masis Nilo K'Rav Yosi HaGalili. Presumably, it seems like our Mishnah is not following like the opinion of Rav Yosi HaGalili. The Gemara says, let's introduce ourselves to his opinion. Detanyo Mala Mal Bashem. The Torah says that if a person were to be Moel, if he were to misappropriate, L'Rabos Kachim Kalim, L'Rabos Kachim Kalim, Shehein Mamon, or Div Rav Yosi HaGalili. Rav Yosi HaGalili is of the opinion that a person would be chayv a karbon, not only over your property, but even kachim kalam as well. Meaning, Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, litzchayv alem karbon shvua. You would be subject to a karbon shvua. Af agav de'ein nishman alek deshos. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to any type of litigation over Hekdeshos, you do not make a Shvua. Now, you're not going to, if you make a Shvua over Hekdesh, you're not going to be Chayv, a carbon Shvua. Because the Torah, when describing this special carbon that a person gives for having made a false oath, having made a false oath, and then later admitting that he made a false oath, so that carbon is only when the litigation is against his fellow man. According to Rav Yosi HaGlili, your kachim kalim falls under the category of your money, and therefore, if there's any kind of dispute whatsoever over kachim kalim, and you were to make a shvua, a false shvua over kachim kalim, and then admitted you made a false shvua, so because Rav Yosi HaGalili holds that kachim kalim belongs to you, therefore you're going to be subject to a carbon shvua. That is the opinion of Rav Yosef Aglili. What comes out clearly is that according to Rav Yosef Aglili, kachim kalim is considered mamon balim. It's considered your money. And therefore, if I were to ask a simple question, what about our Mishnah? The simple answer would be, our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rav Yosef Aglili. To which the Gemara says, let's not say that. Afilatim Rav Yosef Aglili. No, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yosef Aglili, ki kama Rav Yosef Aglili, mechayim. Yes, it's true that according to Rav Yosef Aglili, the kachim kalim belongs to the owner, but that's only while the animal is alive. Avala achash chita, but you shecht your shlamim, lo. Then it no longer belongs to the owner. My taima. And the explanation is like this. Ki kazoch mishochan kavo kazoch. Because after you shecht the carb shlamim, it belongs to Hashem. Yes, you're allowed to eat it, but you're not eating yours, mishochan kavo gavo kazoch. You're eating what is now property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Gemara says, so that would be the pshat in our Mishnah, and our Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. In fact, the Gemara says, Dekanami Diktani. In fact, read the Mishnah again and read it carefully, and you're going to see this pshat is not a forced pshat in the Mishnah. This is the correct pshat in the Mishnah. It's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah reads, the Gemara quotes it again, HaMekadesh Bechelko. You're being Mekadesh. The Mishnah doesn't say, just simply, Kachim and Kachim Kalim. The Mishnah says, with your chelik, with your portion. What does that mean, your portion? It means the animal was already shechted, and it was already apportioned. The Kohanim get their chazav eshok. You get the balance of the meat, and the Mishnah says that if you attempt to be Mekadosh with those portions, the Kedushin is not valid. So clearly the context of the Mishnah is that we're talking about after Shechita. So Ben Kashim Kalim, HaMekadosh Bechelko Ben Kashim Kashim Ben Kashim Kalim, Lo Kidesh. So the Kedushin is not valid. So simple reading of the Mishnah bears out that we're talking about after Shechita. Kamash Malan. I'm sorry, Shema Mina. So Gemara says that's the correct shot. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara now teaches us the following brisa. La'acha p'tira social Rabbi Meir. After the passing of Rabbi Meir, Amalem Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmid of Rabbi Yehuda says to his students the following, Al yechnasu Talmid of Rabbi Meir lekan. Don't allow the students of Rabbi Meir to come in. Here mimnei shekantarnim heim. Because they quarrel. They're looking for a fight. You know, obviously, fight over here, meaning in Torah. And to throw a little bit more into this Gemara, we know Rameir, the Gemara says, is just thought above everybody else. Meaning, it was very hard, the Gemara says in a couple places, that's very hard to follow Rameir's thinking. Rameir has opinions which, on occasion, are just really difficult to understand. And the Gemara spends a lot of time, I'm thinking right now, the third paragraph of Sanhedrin as one example, but the Gemara spends a lot of time trying to figure out Rameir's opinion, but Rameir's opinion, he's a little bit out-of-the-box thinker, and he's just, he's a little bit above everyone else. Rav Yehuda says, look, after the death of Rabbi Meir, not even his students. I don't want his students to come in here because all they're going to do is just start up with me. And they're not really interested in learning Torah. They just want to cut me down. So in comes Simchus, one of the premier students of Rabbi Meir. So he comes in and he says, Rabbi Meir. And the following was taught to me by Rabbi Meir. So, he then quotes Rav Meir. Now, the truth of the matter is that to us, it seems to be an innocuous statement because it's our Mishnah. Meaning, the quote of the controversial Rav Meir is really nothing more than just simply a citation of our Mishnah. But to us, it makes perfect sense because remember, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, we have an anonymous Mishnah, it follows like the opinion of Rav Meir. So this was quoted to Rav Yehuda. Kas Rav Yehuda Aleim. Now Rav Yehuda told the students, I told you so. Don't bring the students of Rav Meir in here. I told you not to do that. Amar lehem kach, lo kach amarti lechem. An official, I told you so. Al yichnasu mitamidi Rabbi Rameir lekam, imesha kantarnim heim, v'lo lo motored heim bayin. They're just looking to start with me, and they're not really interested in learning Torah. Ela kapchani ba'alachos heim bayin. They're just coming to cut me down. And now, why is Rav Yehuda so offended by this opinion? V'chi isha bazar minayin. Let's think about this. What is Rav Meir saying? That if you have a Kohen who has Kachi Kachim, so he can't be Mekadosh and Isha. what's the Isha doing in the Azara? As we said back in the Mishnah, when it comes to Kachay Kachim, so the only ones who are allowed to eat it are Kohanim, specifically Zichri Kohanim, Zichri Kohuna, and more specifically, only in the Azara. So now we are situated only right now in the Azara. And women aren't in the Azara. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi over here says Isha Bazar Minayin Diktani Kachi Kachim Varem Yotzim Chusa Azara Afilo Azus Nashim Hein Nifsalim Biyotze. So Rashi says that once I take Kachi Kachim and I take him just outside the Azara, even if they go into Ezos Nashim has a kedusha of Harabayas. It doesn't matter. Chatas and Nashim taken out of the Azara is Psul, and the Psul is Yotze. V'Nashim Ein nichnasan la, and women are not allowed into the Azara. The way Rashi presents it is that it's not that just women aren't in the Azara, they're not allowed in the Azara. Let me just finish up the Rashi. You look at the first parak of Kalim. Kalim is long. Kalim is 30 parakim. You look at the first parak over there, you will see that it says that women are not allowed entry into the Azara. So basically, what offends Rav Yehuda is, why is Rav Meir talking about this when it can never happen? You're not going to have a woman in the Azara. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos points out slight disagreement with Rashi. The last Tosfos on the Samud quotes the Mishnah from Kalim and firmly is of the opinion that it's not that women are not allowed in the Azara, it's just that they're not there. Meaning it's not shayach, it's not regular that women will be there. Nearly, take a look at the end of Tosfos. V'chi isha b'azar lehizkadesh minayin hare ein regilo shetikanas l'sham kidei lehizkadesh hare bizayinu umus l'oshchichahu v'lo mari tana b'zeh. So Tosfos over here says it's not like what Rashi says, that they're not allowed in the Azara. It's just that what are they going to be doing there? They're not usually there. And because they're not usually there, the Tana will not be spending his time discussing a halacha that is highly unusual. Either way, so back now to the Gemara. So the woman is not in the Azara. So, V'chisha Bazar Minayin. Okay, so that is Rav Yehuda's objection to Rav Meir's halacha. So it's not really it's not a challenge to the halacha itself per se. It's just that, what are we talking about? In the Azara, a Kohen's going to be Mekadesh, a woman using a Chatas and Nashim, a woman's not going to be there. What are we even talking about? One more part to the story, Amar Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says, wait one second, this is a real tragedy. Yomru, because think about now how all this is going to be perceived by the public. Meir Shachav, Rabbi Meir's dead. Yehuda Kas, Rabbi Yehuda now is losing his temper. And Yossi Shasak, and I'm going to be quiet about all this. Divrei Torah Mate Aleha. And now what's going to be with Torah? Meaning Rav Yossi says, I have a responsibility to defend the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So Rav Yossi says a number of things. One, first of all, let's say a woman's not there in the Azara. Okay, a woman doesn't have to be present for the Kedushin. In fact, we spent a considerable amount of time learning that a father can receive Kedushin for his daughter. A daughter, a Ketana, and a Nara, is still under the jurisdiction of the father, and therefore the father can receive Kedushin. So, number one, I can have a case where a woman is going to get married and she doesn't need to be present, the father. Number two, even if it's not the father who's accepting Kesef Kedushin, the woman can appoint a shliach, and as we already established earlier in the second perek, a woman can set up a man as a shliach to accept the Kesef Kedushin. So, that would be a second scenario. Number three, l'kabal Kedushin Bezara. Va'od. And finally, dach of nichus amai. I know that a woman, according to Rashi, shouldn't be there. According to Tosos, wouldn't be there. But, what if she's there? Meaning, you're right. Generally, they're not there, but what if she is? So, Rav Yossi says, I can come up with three very simple scenarios in which a woman can receive the Kesef Kedushin. And now that she could receive the Kesef Kedushin, and that Kesef Kedushin would be the meat of a Chatas, the meat of Asham, so now Rav Meir is totally within his right to discuss the Halacha. And what if the Kohen does it? And that's where Rav Meir has to say, the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. Danya. We learned in a brisa. Rav Yehuda Omer Mekudesh, Rav Yossi Omer Einu Mekudesh. So, machlokus between the Tanaim, whether the Kedushin is going to be a valid Kedushin or not. Rav Yehuda says the Kedushin is going to be valid. Rav Yossi says the Kedushin is not, Rav Yossi is of the opinion the Kedushin is not going to be valid. So in other words, Rav Yossi is in agreement with Rav Meir. Now, Amar Rav Yochanan Shnei Mikra Echad Darsha. Now, as to whether or not the Kedushin is going to be valid or not, so how do they generate their opinions? So Rav Yochanan says they're looking at the same pasuk and walking away with two different conclusions. V'zei yelecha mikodesh hakadashim min ha'esh. The Torah describes, this is to you, meaning the Kohanim, from Kodesh HaKadashim, Chatas and Asham, min ha'esh, which is coming off the fire. Rav Yehuda savar lecha, I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda savar lecha, ulechol tzarchecha. When the Torah says that the Asham and the Chatas is to you, meaning the Kohen, the word lacha means to you, meaning it's totally yours. Similarly, we have by Yontav, lachem, it's yours. The word lacha means it's you, it's yours. You have full ownership, you can do with it whatever you want. That's Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi savar ke'esh. And Rav Yossi says, yeah, but look at the Torah. The Torah, in that very same pasuk, compares Kodesh Kadashim to fire. Ma'esh la'achila, avhunami la'achila. What is the fire? Now, when we say fire over here, we obviously are referring to the fire of the Mizbeach. What's the fire of the Mizbeach going to do with the carbon? One and only one thing. Eat the carbon. Consumption of the carbon. Right? The time and again we see that the way the Gemara illustrates, paints the picture of the Mizbeach is a consumer. It eats its portions of the carbon. So just like the Mizbeach is an Ochel, so too the Kohen by the Chatos and the Yashem is an Ochel. Meaning, but that's it. That's the only thing the Kohen's going to be doing with it. He's only going to be eating it. Afunami la'achila. Therefore, it will only be la'achila. So, machlok is between Rav Yehud and Rav Yossi, whether or not a Kohen is Mekadosh woman with a Chatos and Hashem. So, we learned in our Mishnah that Rav Meir's opinion is the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. We now saw the Braisa where Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda tried to block the students of Rav Meir from coming in, but they came in anyway, and they quoted the Rebbe as the Halacha. Rav Yehuda was offended. Rav Yossi defended Rav Meir. So, lining up the Shitas right now, Rav Yossi and Rav Meir are of the opinion that your Mekadosh with Hashem, Chatos and Hashem, the Kedushin is not valid. Rabbi Yehuda says the Kedushin is valid. Rav Yochanan explains they're both deriving it from the same pasuk. Amar Rav Yochanan. We're now on the top of Negimah Manalef. Nimnu v'gamru. They had a vote, and the vote came down. Hamakash bechalko ben kashim kashim ben kashim kalem lo kidesh. That it no longer is a machlokis. It became a unanimous opinion. Rashi says it came to a vote. The top Rashi in Gimel Amud Aleph, Leminyan. They actually had another vote. Verabu haomrim einu mukudeshes ubadlu hamuatim v'chazru bahem. So not only was it a majority vote, but even the minority ended up recasting, and it became now a unanimous position. Nimnu v'gamru, I'm sorry, v'chazru bahem v'gamru lamar einu mukudeshes. So now it is a consensus according to Rav Yochanan. Everyone's of the opinion that the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin when the Kohen attempts to be Mekadosh a woman using his portions of Chatos and Asham. V'Rav Amar Dainim Machlokes. Now Rav is going to be of the opinion that even though that there was a Machlokes and there continues to be a Machlokes. Rav is of the opinion that nobody shifted on their position. Rav Meir and Rav Yossi still are of the opinion the Kedushin is not valid. Rav Yehuda is still of the position that the Kedushin is valid. Am Rabbi Kavasi, Rav Yochanan Mistab, Rabbi says, as to whether or not Rav Yehuda ended up conceding to the opinion of Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, so Abaye says, I think Rav Yochanan is correct, Mistabra Detanya, and he says, and I'll tell you this, based on a brisa, as we will see. But we're about to quote now is lengthy. It is a bright. It's really a sifra. In other words, it's Medrash Kohanim. Sorry, it's Medrash Halacha, specifically Taurus Kohanim. Taurus Kohanim also goes by the name sifra. Right, it's the original Torah Shabbat Peh that was committed to some form of writing, and he's now going to quote it. And as the to give away the punchline of the Gemara at the end, Stam Sifra, meaning when you have anonymous Sifra, right? Sifra stating an opinion but not giving attribution, that is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Stomps it for us to Rav Yehuda. We're going to go through this entire Brisa. After having gone through the entire Brisa, we're going to then arrive at the conclusion that this anonymous Sifra is telling us that you cannot be Mekadosh using using portions that were given to the Kohanim. And because we know that's Rav Yehuda, therefore Abaye is going to argue that Rav Yehuda also reversed his position and ended up agreeing to Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Let's see now the Sifra inside. D'tanya. Minayin shein chokim menachos keneged zvachim. Now, Kohanim are going to be receiving portions of karbanos, various karbanos, right? In other words, the way the Kohanim work is that they work on shifts. They work on a one-week shift. They come in on Shabbos. They work the week. They exit on Shabbos. During that week, any carbon that's brought over the course of that week is going to be given to the Kohanim that work that week. Even within that mishmar of the Kohanim that work that week, they're even further subdivided into what's called Bati Avos. Okay. Basically, to put it simply, whoever working, whichever Kohen is working in the Beis HaMikdash on that given day is given a carbon. Portions of the carbon to eat. Chatzas Anashim, as we already discussed, portions of the Shlamim, etc., etc. Now what we're going to be learning together in this inside in this Brice is the following. Let's say the Kohen receives his portion. Looks at his portion. Let's say it's part of a Mincha. And now the Kohen is responsible for eating the Mincha. And right now, he's not interested in carbs. He likes the proteins. So he's looking at the Kohen next to him, and he sees the Kohen next to him was just did the avoda with an animal, and now is about to sit down and eat portions of a chatas, or portions of an asham, or portions of a shlamim. And so now he's looking at his mincha. He's looking at his next neighbor's next neighbor's meat, and he's thinking to himself, "Let's swap. I'm not happy with what I have, so let's barter." Can you barter? Can Kohanim barter the portions that were given to them? The answer is going to simply be at the end of this entire Brisa, no. Cannot barter. And the reason why, as we're going to say at the end of the Brisa, is because it's not his. He only has a right to eat it, but it's not his. You only are allowed to barter something that belongs to you. Doesn't belong to him. That's the point of the Brisa. The Brisa is going to take a little bit longer to say everything I just said, because the Brisa is going to go detail by detail. So let's go through the Brisa step by step. So here, let's suggest a swap of mincha for a zevach, right? A flour offering for a meat offering. To which the Gemara says, Rashi points out all these psukim are extra psukim that are found in Parshat Tzav, allowing us to darshan every one of these extra psukim. L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyah. It belongs to b'nei Aaron. Yachlo yachlokum minachas keneged zvachim. Now I understand, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, that I'm not allowed to exchange a mincha for a zevach, flour for meat, shelo kamutachtem bedalos, because we know that in certain halachas of karbanos, where the person does not have enough money to afford a animal, so the Torah says you could swap out. If you don't have enough money for, under certain circumstances, if you don't have enough money for an animal, you could swap animals out for birds. So, you can't swap out an animal for a flower offering. There's no exchange. If the person can't afford birds, so then the birds, and then in lieu of that, you could bring a mincha. But there's no direct swap between animal and mincha. Aval yachlok menachos keneged ofos. But here now, I might have thought that, okay, fine. But maybe flour could be swapped out for, a flour offering could be swapped out for birds. Sherei kamutachtem bedalos. Because if a person can't afford birds, you could swap out the birds for a flour offering. Tamalomer v'chol naase bamar cheshas. L'chol b'nei aron tiyah. Again, these are extra psukim. Yachol lo yachlok minachos keneged ofos shal alo minei damim v'al alo minei kemachim. So fine. So I can't swap out birds for a flour offering. But anyway, I get it, because birds are shechted and there's blood, and blood's going to be sprinkled on the mizbech, and that's not true by mincha. By mincha, there's no blood. But maybe a swap for birds for meat, that could be a fair exchange. So the Torah says, machvas, that is another type of a mincha offering, shallow pan. Again, Rashi points out these are extra psukim, which allow for the drasha. Yechlo, yechlo, kuafos, kenegit zvachim, shalom, maaseim, biyad, valol, maaseim, bekli. So the Gemara says, fine, I get it. I'm not going to swap out birds for a regular meat carbon, but I understand. By a bird, how is it shechted? With the hand of the Kohen. The fingernail of the Kohen is going to be inserted into the neck, into the back of the neck of the bird. When it comes to an animal, a knife shechts. So the Gemara says, so fine. So I understand they can be swapped out. But if I have one type of mincha offering, and there's my neighbor Kohen, and he received another type of mincha offering, so let's swap them out. Where both of them are prepared by hand, meaning there's no knife, there's no shechting. Tamalamer v'chol minchas belula b'shemen l'chol b'nei Aaron. So once again, a drasha. So yachlo yachlo k'machvas k'neged marcheshes marcheshes k'neged machvas. So the Gemara says, okay, different types of mincha offerings. I get it. You can't swap out. Shezuma same rachim v'zuma same kashim. The marcheshes is a deep pan dish. Machvas, that is it's a frying pan. And so basically what comes out are a different consistency of menachos. The marcheshes, deep and soft. The machvas, shallow and crusty. So the Gemara says, fine. But if I have one type of machvas and the Kohen's next to me and he has his machvas, mincha, so let's say that we could swap them out. If they're the same type of mincha, can we swap them out? Once again, extra psukim as well to tell me that they can't swap them out as well. So fine. So when it comes to kachim, which is what we've been discussing, so fine, I can't swap them out. But kachim kalim, what about a shlamim? Tamalamer ish ka'achiv usmichle im al toda. So once again, we're in Parsha Tzav. So the Parsha there goes on to describe that the im al toda, and juxtaposed right next to the ish ka'achiv is the pasuk of im al toda. Toda obviously is a form of a shlamim. Kishem she'in chokim b'kachim ka'achin chokim b'kachim kalim. Just like I cannot make a division of kachim, I can't make a division of kachim kalim as well. Ish cholek afilu balmum. Now, who is receiving portions? Even a balmum. Even a blemish kohen. A blemish kohen cannot do the avoda. But there are other activities in the Beis HaMikdash you could do. Wood, removing the worms out of wood. Rashi points out also flaying the animals. In other words, he's not going to do the avoda per se, but there are other basic services that can be done in the Beis HaMikdash that can be done by the Ba'amon Ve'ina Katan Cholek. But a minor is not receiving a portion of carbon. Ve'afilu tam. And even if the minor is not blemished, still, he's not receiving a portion. Okay. Adkan. That was very detail-oriented. The basic point of this sifra is that no swapping out. To put it really succinctly. And now the Gemara points out, stam sifra. What did we just learn together? That was a piece of sifra. And now, mani Rav Yehuda. V'haka marta leist ba din chaluka klal. And what did the Braisa just got done saying? You can't swap. Shma mina. So Abaye says, so now my deduction is very simple. After having learned that entire sifra, and now the Kohen can't swap out anything, it means it's not his. And it's reflected by the fact that I can't barter. So now, and I know the author of the sifra is Rav Yehuda, Stam sifra is Rav Yehuda, so now Abaye is going to tell you, good, I've just now arrived at the conclusion that Rav Yehuda ended up yielding to the opinion of Rav Meir and Rav Yossi that it's not his and therefore it cannot be Mekadosh. Amar Rava, Ucha Rav Milo Tanya, V'Hatanya. Now, Rava will say, but wait one second. Now remember, Rav was of the opinion that it remains a machlokas. On one side, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi says that you cannot be Mekadosh using Karbanos, and Rav Yehuda, according to Rav, still maintains that you can. V'Hatanya, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa, Hatsnuim Moshchin Es Yadeim V'Argarganim Cholkim. This is a Mishnah. We saw this back in Yuma some time ago. And the Mishnah over here describes the following. In the beginning of Bai Sheni, so the Kohen Gadol at the time was Shimon HaTzadik. And at least in the beginning of Bai Sheni, all was good. The first 40 years of Bai Sheni, you had Shimon HaTzadik who presided and everything was good. And included in that statement of everything is good, so Rashi over here reminds us that included in that was that the lechem upon him that was distributed by the Kohanim satiated. if you only received a small portion of the lechem apanim, so you walked away having eaten a small portion and you were full. Okay, the special bracha that was imbued in the lechem apanim after the death of Shimon HaTzadik. So a me'era, there was a curse that went into the lechem apanim, and basically you ate but you were not satisfied. And so after this point in time, so now it was almost like the kohanim were at a kiddush. Couple elbows being thrown back and forth, and the kohanim basically wrestled their way to get a portion of the lechem aponim. It did not satiate like it once did. So, what then the Mishnah here is describing is that tsnuim, those kohanim were slightly more modest and had a little bit of an easier temperament. So they basically said, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to elbow ourselves into just to get a small portion of the lechem upon him. And the garganim, and those kohanim who were a little more aggressive, right? I'm being nice over here. So chokim. So they would divide. Now what does that mean that they would be cholik? Now, Rav's assumption when reading this Mishnah is my chokim, chotvin, kediktani seifa. My sabacha shechatav chalko vechel chaveiro. Basically, chatifa. They would be grabbing their portion and their neighbor's portion as well. And vayukorno sam ben chamtsan. And, sorry, this is the answer. The assumption is chokim means that they would barter. That's the assumption going in. And so if this is the correct understanding of the Mishnah, so then it shows us that at least there's a Tana, and let's say it's Rav Yehuda, who's of this opinion, who says that they can barter their share of karban. Now, my cholken, now I can say it. The Gemara now is saying, you misunderstood. It doesn't mean, cholik over here doesn't mean barter, cholik means they would grab. Chotim, kediktani seifa, ma'isabecha, shechotav chelko v'chel chavero, v'ayikorno so ben chamtsan. It means that they would grab. In fact, these kohanim who would basically elbow their way in to get a piece of the lechem upon him, they were given nicknames. They were called Ben Chamsan, Ad Yomoso, and that nickname stuck with him to the rest of his days. Amar Rava Barav Shila Maikra. The Gemara is just now going to cite a couple of psukim that show us that the word chometz is a reference to somebody who is grabbing. Elokai Paltanim Yad Rasha Mikaf. Ma'ul v'chometz. So one pasuk in Tehillim shows us that the word chometz means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me from those people who are overly aggressive. Next, Rabba Amar Mehacha Limdu Heitev Dirshu Mishpat Ishru Chamutz. Right, as a judge, you have to advocate on behalf of people who were aggressed against. Okay, so. Aggrieved, better word. Okay, so what did we just learn together? That's not the right pshat in the Mishnah and Yuma, and therefore I don't want to say Abai is right because that was yesterday's daf, but seemingly Abai is right, meaning that there is that not only is it the opinion of Rav Yosef and Rav Meir, but seemingly Rav Yehuda also agrees that a kohen cannot be mekadesh with the chelik that was given to him of kachim, neither kachim kalim as well. Excuse me. And and it seems to be that it was consensus. No, nobody disagrees with that. Huh? Ganev, I don't know. I don't know if Ganev is the right word to describe them. I mean, the Gemara gave us words to describe them. So, I don't know if we have to...
They don't own it,
but they're entitled. They're entitled to a portion. They were a little aggressive in the portions that they took. Next. Meister Sheni Ben Shogeg Ben Memezit Lo Kiddush Ever Emeh Rav Yehuda Omer Shogeg Lo Kiddush Mezit Kiddush. Okay. We're up to the next part of the Mishnah. We're now describing Meister Sheni. Meiser Sheni, if it was done either b'shogeg or b'mezid, according to Rav Meir, the kiddushin is not valid. And as Rashi explained back in the Mishnah, because Rav Meir holds that Meiser Sheni is not your money, and because it's not your money, you cannot go over to a woman and be mekadesh with Meiser Sheni. Now Rav Yehuda makes a distinction between shogeg and mezid. Now Minah Hanimili, the Gemara starts off the discussion by citing a source. Am Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Mishmei D'Gemara. The Gemara says it in the name of the Gemara. The Gemara is not making a self-reference. Gemara over here just simply means this is tradition. And the tradition is, Chol Maiser Ha'aretz Mizera Ha'aretz Mipi Ha'etz La Hashem Hu Kodesh La Hashem. So, the Torah describes that any miser is going to be kodesh lahashem, sanctified to God. Lahashem uvel lekadosh baruch isha, meaning it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not yours, you cannot be mekadosh a woman with it. So the Gemara says, now let's see if this is true. Meaning, so now the tip off is that when the Torah says the words kodesh lahashem, it means that it doesn't belong to you, and therefore you have the right to eat it, because it's that the Torah gives you that right, but it's not yours. Now the Gemara says, is this true? We're going to cite a number of Mishnayos right now, which is going to seem to indicate that this thesis is not correct. So the Gemara starts off, Hari Trumas Maisa Dichsev, Kein Tarinu Gamatem, Trumas Hashem. Now when it comes to Trumas Maisa, 10% of the Maisa Rishon that the Levi himself received, he is supposed to give it to the Kohen. That's what's referred to as Trumas Maisa. We are going to learn in a Mishnah soon enough, a couple days from now, Utanan Hamikash Truma Mikudashes. That if a Kohen is Mikadish using Truma, Trumos, we'll see in the Mishnah later on, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Meaning, the Kohen owns the Truma that was given to him. And he can be Mikadish a woman with that Truma. So the Gemara says, now why should that be? So the Torah over there, when describing Truma, it just says, Kein Tarinu Gamatem Trumas Hashem. It uses the word Hashem. So the Gemara says, Loksiv Bei La Hashem. No. The tip off in the Torah is that it has to say La Hashem. Varechala Dichsiv Bei Tinu La Hashem. Gemara says, okay, but by Chala, the Torah uses the word La Hashem, but Tanan Mekadesh B'Trumos Mekudeshes. Using the same Mishnah, Chala is considered Truma. And the Mishnah later on will tell us that if a Kohen is Mekadesh a woman using the Chala that was given to him, the Kedushin is valid. And there the Torah uses the word Lashem, Loksiv Bei Kodesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah doesn't use the word Kodesh, it only uses the word Lashem. Now when it comes to Peir Shviyas, the Torah uses the word Kodesh. Now we learned this yesterday. We're going to see this also in a Mishnah upcoming, that if I go over to a woman and Mekadesh her with Peir Shviyas, the Kedushin is valid. Yeah, but the Torah does not use the word Lashem, and only uses the word Kodesh to describe Peir Shviyas. The Torah, the Navi describes Truma as being Kodesh Yisrael Lashem. So I have the word Kodesh, I have the word Lashem, and now Vitnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Mekadesh B'Trumos Mekudeshes. So the Gemara says, Ahu B'Yisrael Tzim. No. There it doesn't say the word just Kodesh Hashem. The word Yisrael is inserted in the middle, and the that is therefore a buffer. V'lavmi Melech Hashem Minei. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, Even with the word Yisrael inserted in there, but don't we see from that pasuk in Navi that still the Truma is referred to as Kodesh LaHashem? So the Gemara says, Tirgama Rav and Savi Kamei Derav Amakra Hu Be'av Yasa Yehe. So the Gemara says, fine, concession, and basically another source. When the Torah describes Meiser, the Torah says, LaHashem Hu. It is. When you see the word who, it means it's in a state of perpetuity. It is consistently in its state, meaning it's Meiser Sheni, and it will always continue to be in Meiser Sheni. And it never is owned by the individual. Therefore, according to Rav Meir, he views Meiser Sheni always to be in a state of Kedusha, never leaving that state of Kedusha. Therefore, a man cannot be Mekadesh a woman using Meiser Sheni. All we've done so far is give a source for Rebbe Meir. We still have to explore the opinion of Yehuda. We start with that tomorrow. Quick recap. We finished the topic of the Mekadesh, a woman using goods that are not yours. We finished off the discussion describing the brewer who Mekadesh a woman with dregs, but that did not belong to him. And even when the owner says, hey, that was a great job, that was sarcasm, that was not that was not validation. And then we started the Mishnah. So to summarize succinctly, the Mishnah starts off by saying that if you're Mekadesh a woman with Kachi Kashim or Kachim Kalim, it's not Kedushin because it does not belong to you. Lengthy discussion in the Gemara today whether or not Rav Yehuda argues the point. At one point, for sure, he argued. Did he ever reverses his ruling and rule like Rav Yossi and like Rav Meir. Lengthy discussion in the Gemara today. Rav and Abaye both have opinions on the matter. The Gemara seemingly sides with Abaye that Rav Yehuda ends up reversing his ruling and rules like the Mishnah. And then the last thing we saw today was, can you be Mekadosh a woman using Maaser Sheni? Rav Meir says no. What's the source of Rav Meir? So two attempts in the Gemara to cite a source for Rav Meir. The Gemara concludes that it is based on the fact that the Torah uses the word who describing Maaser Sheni. It's in a state of perpetual kedusha.